This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Atepoti Youth, Vibe Check.
Vibe Check on Youth Zone is all about the young people and youth support organisations in Dunedin.
Fortnightly Wednesdays at 4:30pm, hear about what's coming up around the city. Podcasts are available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts and oar.org.nz.
Kia ora everyone, welcome back to Vibe Check, a show on the youth support organisations and events in Otipoti, Dunedin. Today on the pod, we have Tia Fleming. Kia ora.
Kia ora.
Yay. So Tia is one of our youth broadcasters and podcasters here on ORFM, part of Baby Pakeke on Youth Zone. And we're going to talk all about the show launch, and it has been a few episodes in, but how are you doing with that, Tia?
Good. I love it. I love having a podcast.
And I feel like the concept of your show is just really unique and also quite engaging for the listeners as well, because a lot of people can relate to it.
I hope so.
Do you want to tell us about Baby Pakeke?
Yeah, sure. So I really love listening to podcasts, first of all, and I love listening to local podcasts. I've listened to a lot of podcasts from ORFM, so from Youth Zone, and just from other New Zealand creators. I think there's something about hearing our voices on the radio and on Spotify. That's really cool.
And our accents and our dialects, yeah.
I wanted to say accents, but because when I listen to podcasts, a lot of podcasts are sort of more like American or from the UK, which is so cool, but I do love more local sounds. And so being able to have a podcast and to talk about things that I'm quite interested in hearing. And I think for my podcast, I hope I don't talk as much. I actually don't like to talk as much. I would prefer to listen. Yeah. And I feel like I'm learning so much from the people that I'm asking and questions and from the people I'm talking to. Yeah.
It's really interesting because part of podcasting is actually talking and speaking and replying. Yeah. But you want to do less of that on your podcast.
Yeah, I want to hear them talk and I want to hear them. So now on this side of it, I kind of understand that it's my turn to talk.
Yes. Talk as much as you can here. And that's a really good rundown of your experience with podcasting so far. The name Baby Pakeke, how would you describe that to someone?
Yeah, so Pakeke is, could be understood from the Māori word Pakeke, which means adult, the word that we use to describe adults. And Baby Pakeke, just kind of talking about being a baby adult. And like, I think the concept came from with a lot of, even with like rangatahi programs, a lot of the times there's like an age on it. So it'll be like from maybe 16 to 25 or like 13 to 24, 13 to 23. And I think a lot of us are starting to become, starting to be a little bit outdated in terms of that age range. But I still think that there's still a lot of opportunity and a lot of youth and growing in those ages.
Mm.
Like some of us are married, some of us have children, some of us have partners, some of us have to ask for permission to leave the house. And we're all on different learning journeys.
Yeah, and timelines. Yeah,
so many different timelines into being an adult. And so I'm really interested in what does that look like for other people here.
And it's really good that you point that out because, you know, if I think about my friends of the same age, we're all in very different journeys.
Yeah.
They might be studying, they might be working, they might not be doing anything of that sort. They might be at home and taking care of Defano. Mm. And so I love how this just shows how diverse experiences of rangatahi are, and also, you know, we're all trying to adult here, and it's kind of an experience where no one knows what we're doing. And this podcast is a good reflection of the different experience that can happen in an adult's life.
Yeah.
I wonder, Tia, if, you know, I'm sorry, but I have to ask you to talk about yourself.
No, it's fine.
If you want to introduce yourself and what you're doing here in Otipoti.
Yeah, so my name is Tia Fleming, and I am currently in my final semester of a Bachelor of Arts. And I am definitely looking at postgrad. So I wear lots of different hats. I'm a bunch of different boards. I'm on a bunch of different boards, and it is quite busy at the moment, but I'm kind of just sort of telling myself that, oh, it's just a busy season. It's a busy year. Mm. And, yeah, I think coming graduation year for myself, as well as my son starting primary school, so mini graduation of Kohanga to Karakapapa. So it's a big year for both of us and a busy year, but I think it's definitely going to be worth it in the end.
So this year is a graduation year for both of you.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I feel like we'll definitely talk about your son in a bit, but I want to talk more about your study. So you're doing a Bachelor of Arts. Can you tell me more about what your major is and how that's going?
Okay. I kind of realized I never really talk about it until something comes up, and then I'm like, oh yeah, that's my major. So I studied philosophy, just a Bachelor of Arts in philosophy. I really wanted to get it out of the way. Very interested in postgrad study. My area of philosophy that I'm quite interested in is looking at what are some of the indigenous philosophy concepts that can be applied in thought or in the area of philosophy. Philosophy is so broad.
Yeah.
And it deals a lot with things like logic and ethics, metaphysics, and I'm quite interested in those sections. I think with metaphysics, which talks about abstract ideas, things like time, space. Yeah.
And how does that look in a Pacifica or indigenous lens?
Yeah, so there are a lot of indigenous concepts that can be thought of as metaphysical. So things such as whakapapa or genealogy, the sort of relational, the relational concepts of connection passing down from generations to generations. The concept of time in Te Ao Māori as well, Te Kore, which is the sort of spiritual realm of nothing. That is a very heavy metaphysical concept, and that is something that I've been quite interested in, especially in terms of teaching maths. Maths is also a metaphysical concept. A lot of ethical concepts can be brought over of how Māori govern themselves and how Pasifika govern themselves. Another Pasifika concept that I'm really interested in is the va, so the sort of space between, which is also another sort of interrelational concept that Samoan people have and operate through. There's a space between and there's a relationship between people, and that relationship tends to require either respecting and cultivating or getting rid of that space between, and so yeah, there's different concepts.
Wow.
Yeah, so interesting.
And you get to study all of this?
Yeah, well, it's not in philosophy, or at least in the philosophy department at the University of Otago, hasn't really been touched on, but I'm quite interested in it, so like bridging it.
Yeah, because yeah. You learn all of this through your own community, and your own ancestral knowledge, right? So finding that bridge between what you're learning at uni and also the things that you just learn in life.
Yeah, yeah. It's so interesting. I enjoy it. And I think when I actually enjoy what I'm studying, it makes it a lot easier. I took quite a lot of papers last year. So I did my second year and my third year last year just to try and make it a little bit not faster, not that I want to hurry up and graduate. It's more so for the fact that I would like to continue to progress. When I saw how long, I first came down in 2024 and I studied first year law, and I was very interested in it. I think law is an amazing subject. I think it's an amazing program. But then I saw how long it would possibly take me to graduate from an undergraduate degree. And I just thought, oh, I don't want to practice law, even though I think law is amazing. I know that being a lawyer is not something that I want to be doing. So I kind of just decided to carry on with the Bachelor of Arts program and try and finish fast.
And it's good that you realized that from the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like coming back, taking a while, my first year, it was foundation year, and I came in 2020 on the on a Tukahika scholarship, which is like a health science scholarship. And I found out just before cohort that I absolutely hate health science. And that was just like foundation health science. It wasn't even health sci first year.
And that's when you know.
Yeah. And I think I knew then that I do so much better at like conceptual learning. So I think I found the mother of all concepts.
Exactly.
Philosophy is so much more me.
How did you find philosophy as the course that you wanted to go? Because if you look at, you know, the Bachelor of Arts, it's so diverse. There's so many things that you could get. And because I did a Bachelor of Arts as well, and it was very difficult for me to choose one.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Don't even get me started on that. If I could study everything, I would. And now being at the sort of end of the Bachelor of Arts, I'm like, oh, my goodness, there's so many. I think on one hand, there's the vocational side of studies where going into a professional program like one of the health professional programs or law or surveying, those programs tend to have a sort of set outcome that you will either go on to be a doctor or a physio or a pharmacist or some sort of, you will work in that field. And I think when it comes to a Bachelor of Arts, a lot of the times the humanities get kind of frowned upon because they think, what are you going to do with a Bachelor of Arts? And for me, it's not so much what am I going to do with the degree, it's more so the skills that I've gotten from the degree and the experience that I've got. And I think another very important thing is being able to stick to something for a while. It kind of shows consistency and consistent hard work.
Mm-hmm. So you're in your final year and we're very excited for you and your son's graduation. How are you feeling as a mama as well to, you know, raise a boy who's going to school?
I'm really excited. Yeah, I'm really excited. He had his porphyry, which was his introduction to his new school on Monday. So now he goes one day a week on Mondays. And that was beautiful. A lot of my Te Rōpū Māori Association came along. And in saying that, it's also Māori grad today, which is where we're going to be heading off after this. So it's going to be really exciting to go and congratulate my friends who have graduated. Aww. And for him to see like his aunties and uncles. And then I'm excited for him to be able to see me hopefully graduate in August. And then he will be graduating in his little kid's korowaitanga in September. So it's a really cool time and I think it's coming up fast. I think going back to your question, I remembered your question of where did I find philosophy. I had a friend who was very head in the clouds and we would both have very long conversations and long corridors about lots of different topics. And then I was always thinking, like, what are you doing at university? And he was studying philosophy. And so I thought, oh, that is very cool. And everything that he studied was quite along tracks with what we would talk about. And so I didn't even know that philosophy was a subject you could study at university. I knew that there was sort of the PPE program of like politics, philosophy and economics. And I have seen that there's quite a few law students that will go into philosophy as well as politics students that go into philosophy. But I don't like economics. That's not an interested subject to me. But yeah, like if I could have just gone into philosophy straight away, I would have, yeah.
So you found that gateway through your friend who
Kept
having career with you, yeah.
Yeah, we were able to have, I think when you think of philosophy, you think of like Socrates and Plato and Descartes and these really deep thinkers and sometimes people can just forget that philosophy is such a broad subject. And it's kind of why I see how when it comes to PhDs, they're called doctorates of philosophy because it's an area of knowledge, an area of thinking that has been so specified. So, yeah.
It's really cool that you are at the end of that. And
The end of the, like sort of the beginning of the end.
Yeah. So all the best for this year. I'm sure
Thank
that this
so
is a really
much.
Busy year for you. So you're not from Otepoti, Dunedin. So I wonder if we can talk about was study the reason why you came down here?
Yep, 100%. So yeah, 2020, I came down for that scholarship. I think I liked the idea of moving to... I grew up in Auckland and I still wanted to stay in New Zealand, but I never really wanted to go overseas. All those coughs that you have to...
You're all good.
Sorry. I never really wanted to study outside of New Zealand or sort of leave New Zealand to live long-term. Experience the world, yes, that would be cool. But, yeah, I thought practically Otago was probably the furthest place I could get from Auckland without leaving the country. and I do like it. I like it down here. It's a very different climate, super different climate. Yeah, it's just a really different place. I think life is a little bit slower down here. But at the same time, I'm progressing more is what I think.
What do you mean by that?
Well, yeah, when I moved back to Auckland and when I moved back to the North Island, it was Hamilton and Auckland. So I was in between Hamilton and Auckland a lot. And it kind of felt like I don't really know what I was doing. I felt like I was in this sort of limbo of... what was I doing at the time? I was half birth at the time and then I gave birth to my son. And so it felt too busy to go to different activities. I thought that Auckland University was a little bit too, not too far, but I wouldn't want to live in the city. Too big. I thought it was too big. Lots of fun things to do and lots of access to things. Oh my goodness, the pools, a lot of the pools in South Auckland are free. So many libraries, there's so many third spaces for young people to sort of just be and to do things. But and the climate isn't as cold as it is down here, so being outside is quite nice and it's not too far from sort of rural living if you want to go on a little adventure. But it did feel quite busy, sort of like rat race time. Whereas down here, I feel like because the population is not as big as in Auckland, so I'm able to still do things, but at a slower pace. But in saying that, because I have access to things like this, to a radio station, able to sort of just come in, walk in and say, hey, this is my idea. Not so long after that, the idea comes to life and being able to go to the university and make things happen. And yeah, even the libraries down here are quite, they're small, but they do their job. It's really cool. I feel progress down here is quite lovely.
And it's great that you find the places that you want to access as well. It's good to know that those places exist. You just need to find them.
100%, yeah. That's kind of a lot of the advice that I give others at university in terms of support, is that there's so much support available. Sometimes you just have to reach out. And sometimes reaching out can be the hardest thing.
And thinking about your podcast as well, the concept of baby adult, baby pakeke, how do you see yourself in that story?
Yeah, today I just taught civics at Otago Girls High School and kind of realized that, oh man, yes, I'm very old. But then after that, straight after that, I was talking to one of the parents of another child at the Kohanga, one of my friends, and he's in his Masters of Teaching and Learning. And I was just thinking oh my gosh, we're both old. I feel like the concept of adulthood is just so interesting, changes a lot. And I don't think everyone's prepared. I don't think there's a one-size-fits-all shoe that can prepare you for what adulthood really is. I think everyone's constantly learning. I love seeing those quotes about mothers, and it's it's just their first time learning as well.
Oh, yeah, I've seen those quotes as well, and it really humanizes the experience of people who we think should know more than we do.
Yeah, and I think it's a human assumption to assume that someone should know better and have that expectation, but then also giving people grace. And so I think that same grace that we should be giving others, we should also be able to give it to ourselves when we sort of make mistakes. And yeah, it is what it is.
So how do you take care of yourself when you start to doubt yourself and, you know, just life in general, when things don't happen the way you want? How do you take care of yourself that way?
I think I'm still figuring that out. Taking care of myself. I think I'm in the stage now where I'm seeing, like, identifying what I need to take care of. I'm able to identify what things need to be done. So I might be doing lots of stuff during the day, but there is a big pile of washing on my couch. But also at the same time, I'm quite okay with that. As long as, like, the dishes are washed and my son is fed and we're clean and we're warm, especially in winter coming up, that pile of washing can get folded maybe tomorrow.
Yeah. And I think that's a really good point. Sometimes your brain makes things more urgent than it should be. So that's a really good reminder. There are things that's actually not urgent and you don't have to tackle right away. It does not reflect like a situation of survival, you know? Yeah. And just thinking about how you're managing adulthood now, were there things that you've learned along the way and how has that changed?
Yeah, I think definitely practical things like paying the bills and prioritizing. Should I buy groceries over a perfume? Like, the practical things definitely have come into play. But then also being able to give time to myself for those things that I can actually benefit from. I've started sort of investing in my health, being able to go to the doctors for regular checkups, going for like different types of things that are important that do cost money but do have long-term benefits, because otherwise I'd probably just spend the money on food. And that's fine, but overconsumption is a thing. Yeah, just trying to prioritize. I think prioritizing is one of the biggest things that I've learned so far, because in prioritizing what I spend my money on also applies to where I spend my time and where I spend my attention as well. So especially being a uni student. And speaking of going to the doctors, I think I went to the doctor on Tuesday, and it was an alternative type of doctor, and they just looked at my hand and they took my pulse and they were like, okay, are you sleeping well? It seems like you're not sleeping well. It seems like you're stressed and it seems like you're very tired and that you're very busy. And I was thinking, oh, I thought those were just symptoms of uni.
Yeah.
And they probably are, but there's also probably better ways that I can manage that to mitigate those feelings of being tired and stressed and et cetera.
Yeah. And it's a journey, you know, you're going to have all these ups and downs and seasons in your life. And yeah, especially in your final year of university, I'm sure this is coming along for you.
Definitely. Yeah. I think there's only like 4 weeks left of uni. So very crazy, but it also does mean that I need to start handing in assignments and looking after my body. I think my son and a lot of people that were quite close to us were sick all last week. So now I think I'm starting to feel it coming around and it's getting colder. Oh my goodness, I have a dehumidifier and that has been so amazing. I feel like an old person. When I was scared, every time I wake up in the morning, I'm like, oh my goodness, my dehumidifier is so, wow, there's so much water in it. It's such a crazy concept to me to just have wet. Like, I'm not used to it.
Yeah.
And I think the first year that I lived in Dunedin, I didn't have a dehumidifier. And so now that I do have one, it's on nearly every other night. And it's crazy to me, like, those adult purchases, looking at vacuums. I want to get a really good vacuum. What else do I love? I love buying sheets. Like, so fun.
Yeah, I love how you're associating all of this with, like, adulthood. Yeah. Because, yeah, these are the things that we just don't have to think about.
Yeah. I remember when I was young and I used to go shopping with my dad there. I have 7 brothers and sisters, so there's 8 of us. And there was always lots of kids in the house. So when we would go shopping, buying things in bulk, so we would always have to look for, what is the unit price? No, per kilo, the per kilo or per gram price instead of like per packet. And I remember thinking, oh man, I can't wait till the day where I buy like one tomato and two onions. And yeah, that's what my shopping looks like now. I still have, there's been lots of times where I have to get rid of buying a whole lot of things to sort of make it cheaper. Now I can buy the mandarins because they're not, there's only two of us. But I do think fruit and vegetable prices are pretty crazy in Dunedin.
Yeah. And so Tia, just wrapping up this interview, I wonder if you can give a shout out to your podcast and how people can find it.
Sure. Baby Pākehi is found on Spotify and there are fortnightly episodes that are released and yeah, definitely go ahead and listen.
Baby Pākehi, figuring out life in Otepoti. Thank you so much, Tia. We'll see you again next time.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Otepoti Youth Vibe Check.
Vibe Check on Youth Zone is all about the young people and youth support organisations in Dunedin.
Fortnightly Wednesdays at 4:30 p.m. hear about what's coming up around the city. Podcasts are available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts and oar.org.nz.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.